All right. Welcome to another thrilling season of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I am ready for the football season to begin. Off-season is over. We're starting the second week of preseason games. It's time to start paying attention again and figuring out what we're going to do on draft day, right?
That is correct. I was actually just telling my wife tonight, I was thinking, hey, you know what's great, babe? Fantasy football season is awesome for both of us. And here's why. Here's my case. Because my season is January to really the end of July or the first week of August. That is the busy season. I'm ramping up in January. Things are cranking. They get busier and busier, and May is the diving board month for us, and then summer is just absolutely nuts, which is odd because I'm a little off my wife's schedule, being the principal of an elementary school. Things are ramping up, and then at the end of May, she's done. Summertime hits, and then I get summer wife, and summer wife is way more fun than regular wife. So I get summer wife through the summer, obviously, and then rolls, but my season gets crazy. And then at the end of July, I'm starting to finally see light at the end of the tunnel. And what happens, her schedule starts ramping up as she's getting ready to launch a campus. So that's why I said tonight, honey, you got to understand, fantasy football is awesome for us. Because here I've been working many, many hours a week on actual work. And now you are going back to work and it's going to get crazy for you. I need something to do with all of these hours that I've been spending so that I can stay distracted to not bother you. So in a way, fantasy football is helping our marriage in keeping you and setting you up for success while I'm over here investing all of these extra hours that I find myself having in something totally worthwhile and definitely a part of our life and community. What say you, Pete? Sounds like pretty sound logic?
I'd really like to hear what her response was. Did she agree with your conclusion?
Well, if you could audibly hear eyes rolling, whatever that sound makes, that's what we got.
Yeah. I imagine trying to pitch that sort of logical argument to my wife and it being shot down very quickly. So, you know, hats off to you. Great effort. Great job there.
What for? That's right. Yeah. How goes
For me and my wife, it's more like this is happening, so we're just gonna have to deal with it.
Just a part of what we do. It's back, we arrived, and here we go. Well, yep. I am extremely excited about it. I have, like I said, been spending a good deal amount of time. Got Poker Face all dusted off and the algorithm brushed off, ready to go, and looking forward to that. Excited about our draft that's just around the corner. I'm excited to see all the guys up in Big D, which is going to be a fun afternoon or actually full day that you've planned for us. Looking forward to that.
It was a great time last year, and I'm excited we'll have a good group back together again this year, play some golf, hit up hopefully a cool spot to all be together for the draft. And I think we had some technical issues last year. Hopefully those don't resurface again this year and everyone can feel comfortable and ready to draft when it's time to get going.
Yes, those technical difficulties. We had a little bit of a Wi-Fi issue. We also got bombarded with a lot of guys that were really excited about the fact that we were drafting there, and they were ready to say a few words towards us. But I was a little frustrated because I don't think they understood that we were in the auction draft. I don't think very many people are used to that. Doing that in public was kind of a gamble for us, and you got a bunch of guys ready to kind of be total fly-on-the-wall observers of our draft, and the auction draft is really not made as a participation event. It is not something you can really watch if you have no idea what's going on and really get it. And also, we're so intense about it. I remember that our chatter right before the draft was like, la 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 la, oh hey guys, la la, oh yeah, fantasy football, oh yeah, cool shirt. And then
I mean, you're saying that, it's like I kind of remember other people being there, last year when we were doing it live, but mostly I think I blocked everything out outside of what was going on with the draft and, you know, the small group we had sitting together. I feel like maybe there were some people kind of floating off to the side who were, you know, interested in seeing what was going on, but mostly I felt as focused on, the draft as ever, and if anything, a little more focused just because of the additional thrill of all being together.
Sure.
And it was certainly the largest group we ever had draft together. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
How are we looking for next weekend? What is our attendance looking like and what's the plan?
I think we're going to have basically the same group there to draft together again. Unfortunately, Charles will not be able to make it. He was the one other Texas person. I was really hoping we'd be able to make it, but his wife's birthday is the next day. They're celebrating on that evening, so it would be a tight schedule for him to draft and then dip back down to Austin to have a birthday celebration for his wife. So understandable there. Give him a pass. He will be able to draft, just not make the trip.
Fair enough. That sounds like he's making a wise decision. I mean, it's not the wisest, obviously, but
it's only his second year in the league. He'll figure it out,
yeah.
Right?
So okay. Like, we'll give him a little grace.
once you're 11 years in, you just give your wife the "this is happening" speech.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, or the "this is good for our marriage" speech. It seems to be working in your marriage and mine. We got two strategies, same result. It's here we are.
We'll twist his priorities and principles eventually.
Man, it's here we go. So we're looking forward to a new season. Looking forward to our draft day, which is on a Saturday. I can't remember the last time it was actually on a Saturday. I believe that for the past several drafts, it's always been on a Sunday afternoon. So I'm looking forward to getting a full day in with the golf in the morning. Where are we actually conducting the draft? Tell me about this venue.
It's called the Shark Club. It's a new place. It just opened up in, I think it might have just opened up in August or sometime earlier this year. I checked it out. It's nice. It's kind of similar feel to where we were last year, but it's obviously much smaller. There isn't, a variety of restaurants. So it's just like a big sports bar, like a kind of souped up Buffalo Wild Wings or something. But I think it'll be good.
All right. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a good venue. So before, we're looking forward to the draft, but we should also, look back a little bit and close out the end of last year. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves here, we're not great. Our track record in terms of closing out the prior season isn't great, and having a final podcast episode to, announce the winner and all that sort of stuff, by then it's over and, there's only really two people left who care about the result. But we would be remiss to not congratulate Brock for winning the league last year, taking the championship game, and congratulations to you for your second place finish as well. Hard luck. Shout out to Jared and Derek for having the two clear best teams last year and finishing third and fourth after completely flopping in the second round of the playoffs.
just laid down and rolled over.
Putting up their lowest scores of the season at the most crucial game of the season.
They mailed it in.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell we really feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Hats off to Chewy for winning the toilet bowl in the consolation ladder.
Absolutely.
And pity on Michael for losing the loser's bracket, which is still an open point that does not yet have a resolution due to Michael's ghost-like tendencies. Did he take the SAT? We don't know.
Will he
have a teeper when teeper's locked next week? We don't know. So still waiting to hear from Michael in terms of what his offseason has looked like as he has had to deal with his punishment.
Well, if his group me involvement is any indication, I'm pretty sure that this man will be keeperless on draft day, but we shall see.
Wouldn't it be so great though if he just like comes in with this like 5-minute documentary of his day of going to take the SAT?
I would take back all the moments where I suggested that we kick him out of the league, that we punish him for his lack of involvement, that we charge. I would apologize profusely if he came out and said, "I've been doing this anthropological study on the social impact of fantasy football on men, and particularly their marriages," or something. And he just comes out and lays it down. It's Netflix. I would enter slow clap here. I mean, just please and thank you. Let it be. But no, my hopes are not high.
No, not high. But it would be cool if it was all building towards something. Yeah. But we'll probably end up disappointed at the
end. That's because we long for this redemption. We long for a catharsis to be worthy of his absence.
Indeed. So we'll see what happens there. So that was the end of the last season. Then we got into the off season, and it was more active and more vocal off season than we normally have in terms of group discussions. So that was good. You know, we kind of kept up the chatter a little bit here and there throughout the off season, and definitely as we got to talking about rule changes for this upcoming season.
As we get into that, I definitely enjoyed the chatter. I think that's indicative of the ongoing depth that we have in our league and just the tightness of relationship. This is our friend group. This is our community, and it's good that we can pick up wherever we left off and not lose a beat. With one probable minor exception, I think that there still exists an ongoing tension in between certain now relatives within the league. We'll deal with that in a live podcast, I am sure, or at least hear about it in the near future. However, I also, as you were throwing Derek and Jared under the bus, I mean, that's got to be one of the best backhanded.
I thought that was tasteful.
It was a very backhanded compliment, yes. Very tastefully throwing them under the bus. I do want to point out the fact that Derek, who, again, I'm still eating my words, where I made a certain comment after the certain draft last year about a certain player not having any firepower on his team. This said manager went 8-5, very respectable 8-5. Derek had 2,020 points. 2,020. There was nobody else even in that stratosphere. Nobody was even close. I think the next Jared was actually next in line, and he had well less than 2,000 points. And I, who came in second place, had about 1,800. And then Brock, who won the league, was actually fifth for points four. And so I just wanted to point out the fact that even though that Jared and Derek, henceforth known as Jarek for the remainder of this podcast for the sake of expediency, Jarek rolled over in round two, but their points against, well, Jared's was nominal. However, Derek faced the mountain every single week. I mean, he could not catch a break. Jared's record is a lot more indicative that he had a better schedule at 12-1, clearly. Derek, being 8-5, had 1,853 points against him, which is 20 more points than I scored for the year as a second place winner. And that's actually nearly 100 points more than Brock actually scored for the season winner of the league. So tip my hat. Hat is off. All things hat related for Derek that show honor. The man had a great season, and his record just crushed him. Our whole stat that we like to track, it's the ideal schedule record. I really enjoyed that spreadsheet because it kind of just, again, shows you. And it's what I hear all the time and read online. Fantasy football is a weekly contest. It is a week-to-week contest where you got to play your best team, and you play the matchups week-to-week. Yes, you can think about the season. Yes, you got the famous narrative and the draft for the playoff mentality. It is a week-to-week contest, and I think Derek's record proves it.
Yeah, and also it just shows that the playoffs are a total crapshoot as well, because Jared was 12-1, and then number two in points scored. Derek was number one in points scored. You know, they together had the highest score of the week, 9 of the 16 weeks. You know, so just they were the clear top two teams, and just – both of them completely tripped and fell on their faces, you know? So, which makes it fun, you know, and it's frustrating, you know, but it makes it more fun to have those bad beats. You could set up your lead so that it's the winner is whoever scores the most points for the full season. But if you do that, there's going to be a certain time where people are going to know they're out of it and they don't have chance. That's and right. It's going to happen earlier and earlier than when you've got a playoff bracket system. You know, the bad beats, they suck when you have to experience them, when you're on the wrong end of them, but it does make it more fun. You know, the head-to-head competition each week does make it more fun. You know, you lose because that someone else's kicker scored 21 points, or, you know, a defense returned 2 interceptions for a touchdown. You know, those kinds of things, they drive you nuts, but they are more fun. You could remove them and have a more, you know, straightforward, the best team wins and the best manager's rewarded for the performance. But I think it would be less fun and That's take right. some of the competitive aspect out of it.
We do love our drama. Speaking of which, we had plenty of drama as we were leading into the pre-playoff season, if you will, as we are discussing potential rule changes. Those rule changes have been proposed. They have been argued. There has been a vote. That vote has ratified certain rules moving into the 2019-2020 season. Pete, Commissioner, you're back at the podium. Many years have gone by with scandal and with different spotlight, different reasons for questioning your leadership and your care and your ability to effectively administer the league. I'm not going to bring any of that up right now. I just
appreciate that.
Just yeah, of course. Just highlighting your colored past.
I'm glad we've all moved on.
That's right. But it's a new season, new you. You've got some new rules in play. How are you feeling about the shakeup and some new bylaws going into the league ahead of the season?
You know, we're the greatest fantasy football league in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So we are not stagnant. We're always looking to improve and grow as the game develops, as we develop as leading managers edge. And owners. You know, we want to state to where the puck is going to be, mm-hmm. not be focused on where it is right now. So we're trying to be progressive, move forward, keep our standing as the greatest fantasy football league in the world. Right. Last year, innovation. We made a change to increase the buy-in, and we added the weekly winner award, which I think was a great success, even though sadly only four people in the league won it. Like, you won it twice, Jared won it four times, Brock won it five times, and Derek won it five times. Hey. So it was like, the rich got rich, right? And, you know, the rest of us sucked. But, hopefully it'll have a little more even distribution next year. But it did add an element of
30% of the league. That's pretty good.
No, it's not. But it did another element of competition each week, because you weren't just going up against the guy you were going up against. You were also going up against mm-hmm. whoever was the next highest scorer. And so you could be blowing someone out and winning by 80 points, but there's still something that you're paying attention to and looking for of like, well, this guy's never going to catch up to me, but am I going to beat, you know, someone in a different matchup? And so I thought that was an improvement. I thought that did add a lot more fun to the league. And so I'm a more fun commissioner. You know, I am a man of the people. I want more fun, whatever's more fun, you know. That's like right. I'm into it. I'm for it. Whatever's good for everybody. So we did, you know, these are not my rules. These were proposals that were brought up throughout the year. I listened to the people. I took it in. I took notes. I made sure that I had it all documented so we could have a, you know, league-wide discussion and vote and a ratification of anything that passed by a majority vote. Mm-hmm. All that to say, I thought we had some good suggestions in terms of rule changes that could be made. Only one got voted through, which I was not too surprised by. I was a little disappointed because I did think there were some rules that would add fun to the league that didn't get voted, and there may be some executive decisions that happen next year with those.
we're gonna
take some power back to the back to the throne here, heavy as the head, as it were. But so far, we're going forward with the one rule change to change how we manage keepers. We got, you know, suggestions for how to change the value of a keeper and the length of time you're able to retain a keeper. Mm-hmm. And so those are going into effect starting this year. And I think it's interesting. I think it will have a good impact. I think it will add more fun because I expect we'll see players recycled back into the draft pool quicker. Right. And also some of the massive competitive edges that can be gained from, you know, keeper values out in that second year of keeping a player, those will be minimized for sure.
That's right.
And I think they'll also lead to players getting back into the draft pool quicker, kind of changing up the keepers more each year instead of sticking with the same guy for 3 years in a row. So I think it's more fun, and I think it's good. And I appreciate your involvement. Your suggestion is ultimately what we adopted to change how the value is calculated.
Mm-hmm. Do I get $20 a week for that? Or no? No?
Okay. No. That's right. No, it's not.
That's right. Maybe we'll think about it.
you did the price raise on Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. I wanted my cake and to eat it too, which is a dumb expression, but I really wanted to vote in the, like, because I really do value a balanced draft and a balanced league throughout the season. I believe that by paying you, well, getting the benefit for the dollar keeper as the prize for 1 year is good. Like, okay, you did it. You picked your great sleeper keeper here. Congratulations. Next season, you get to cash in big. But that ability to carry that same price over year after year when your stud is still sitting in the top three or top five, obviously that advantage just starts to wear on the economy of the draft. And I would be interested to correlate the top four weekly scores, as it were, the 33% of the league that scored big. I'd be interested to see their keeper value going into the draft and see if we don't see more balance this season across the entirety of matchups week to week versus the value saved, or the dollar saved, I guess, the value kept inside an auction draft going into the season. I'll be interested to look at that this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, you know, last year, the, you know, those four teams that did score well, they did all have really strong keepers who were the weekly winners. You had Kamara for $1. Derek had Juju Smith-Schuster for $4. Jared had Thielen for $4. And Brock, of course, had Michael Thomas for $4. So, I mean, those are all, like, you know, top five players at their position for last year, all kept for less than $5. So massive advantages from the, from those players. We've also seen it the other way, where a keeper that looks like a really strong value busts, or a manager who has a really strong keeper value doesn't capitalize on it as well. But I think this does even the playing field a little bit more.
Yeah. So long as your keeper actually decides to play in the NFL, obviously.
That is a important tiny point. Didn't we hats off to me for making the playoffs when my keeper, who cost $48, never played. Ooh. And I don't need any credit for this, but I was stupid enough to not take his backup in the draft. Which would have made the season a lot better for me, but without taking his handcuff, losing this $48, never getting a thing out of him. Only thing I got from him was a tack from you that he shouldn't be IR eligible.
And I still stand by that. I will go to my grave, sir.
Still made it to the playoffs. I think I had twice as many transactions, ads and drops and everything as anyone else. I saw that the other day. I was looking at some league pages. My transactions number was like 80 and the next closest was 35 or something. I scratched and clawed. Well,
for that regard, I will tip my hat to say congratulations, you made it to the playoffs, because that was quite an effort.
So, Not only did Le'Veon Bell screw me last season by not playing at all, but he also screwed me this season because I have no good keeper at all this year. And I still blame Le'Veon for that, because it screwed up the draft, screwed up my acquisitions and everything. And I got nobody good.
Yep. Nope. I feel for you. I really do. Well, I tried to ratify the bill so that I wouldn't have to pay the half price for Kamara until next year. And thus manipulating the vote to balance the draft, but just not yet.
Yeah, totally trying to have your take and eat it too.
Yeah, I don't know what that expression really means, but I'm pretty sure it applies 100%. All right. So speaking of keepers, do you think there's going to be any surprise selections based on the eligibility and price of available players this year?
I think so. I think there will be some surprises. There will be some that where it's not as obvious as it would have been under the old rules. I may surprise and take no keeper because I
save a buck.
No good options. Yeah, it's like, do I keep a quarterback for $0 or do I have no keeper? Those are my options. So I think we will see some surprises, and I'll, as people consider the new rules and they may make different decisions than they would have before. There's also some wild cards out there who made keeper decisions that are questionable just standalone, regardless of the rule changes. I think Matthew Stafford was kept last year for $2, and he definitely could have been had for $1.
Yep, that is true. You are not wrong, sir. So, speaking of these rule changes, of the rules that did not get ratified, which were you really hoping would be implemented, and which one is tempting to either retroactively go in and put in this year, or at least it's on the docket for you to pull the executive order for next year?
Yeah, I think Dreamworld, there's probably two that I really want to be implemented. The first would be trading auction dollars and being able to include that in, you know, trades for a player as additional way to sweeten the pot.
Absolutely.
It's just procedurally very difficult to execute. And so, you know, from a reality standpoint, I'm against it just because we'll run into issues where we actually can't make it work. Because we'd essentially have to manipulate keeper salaries to do it. Because there's no way within ESPN system to change a team's overall draft budget.
Right.
But that would be a lot of fun to have the ability to say, all right, I want to trade this player for this player, and I'm going to throw in $10, or, you know, I want to also, you know, get $10 of auction budget for next year. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a lot of fun. The one that I think we need to move forward with adding next year, regardless, is to add a flex spot.
Hmm.
So that we have two flex spots that we can start in the lineup. You know, it's more players out there. The ability to start four running backs if you wanted, the ability to start five wide receivers if you wanted. It's easier to start two tight ends and still have your three running backs or four wide receivers. Just the way the league is changing, there are more skill position players that are viable on the field. We see more spread offenses where you've got four wide receiver sets or you've got two tight end sets out there on the field in the NFL. And so having the ability to roster those additional players in your lineup, I think, is just more fun. Messes up the history a little bit, but I think it'll be more fun to have higher scores, have more options to get your players out there and not have to leave some, you know, good players on your bench when you've got an extra flex spot you can plug them in.
Yeah,
so that's my pet rule change right there.
That makes sense. I do like it. I've always been a big fan of flexing a tight end, and I think that because of the way the offense of the NFL has gone over the past couple of years, that's the only reason that's been viable, and you can get more bang for your buck in that, because tight ends historically have been about a third of the cost of wides, and so
that's very true.
If you have that nice little, it's almost like a wide receiver three spot that you're throwing into the bottom level of your roster, and you can save $20 or $30 on them. It's a good move point wise, as long as we're all ready and prepared for that action and to be thinking differently.
Yep, that is very true. And I think that's a great point. And yeah, you definitely have tight ends now who look like wide receivers and score like wide receivers. So getting more of them into the lineup, I think, is more fun.
That's right. Any other rule changes?
More fun, Commissioner.
More fun. Well, if you keep saying it, maybe the people will really just, oh, yeah, it's a good campaign slogan. You need some propaganda. You need to produce some propaganda to back you up. But yeah, I'm for you.
MFC. MFC.
I wouldn't go with that one. That one's too easy to trim into shorter initials that aren't as flattering. So...
Oh, right. I'll take that under advisement. We'll come up with something else.
Good. Good. Well, what else do you have on the docket for us, Kamish?
I wanted to ask you, how's your off-season research been? Have you been staying up with the news? Do I need to quiz you on where certain players are playing
I would make a fool of myself right now. Now, here's what I've been doing. Over the past 2 weeks... You saw I got Poker Face up online early, so that's up and running. That's good to go, which is fine. And that's my tool that all my research goes into, my instance of it anyway, in terms of my notes and flags and injuries and targets and all those things, and my personal values as I'm calculating those. So that's going just fine. My actual time, though, has really been investing in Snake Eyes, which is a snake draft version of Poker Face. Not everything translates, obviously, because it's not values based or auction based, but what I'm trying to do is create a tool that my buddies who snake draft, bless them, they've yet to see the error of their ways, my buddies at snake draft will be able to have a tool that can essentially help them draft better. I've got a lot of people who are asking for the kind of technology that's in Poker Face in their snake drafts, and there are some elements that you can actually use to your advantage. Essentially, what I'm trying to build for them is a prediction-based model that gives you not only the best ranked player in a given moment, but actually follows your draft strategy to the custom ranking and the custom order of picks that you've put into the system, as well as give you a little bit of, not necessarily offensive drafting, but it's defensive in that it will, with a certain error of accuracy, predict what the person behind you and ahead of you will pick if you don't make certain choices. So it's kind of it widens your view a little bit of your snake draft to be able to see a little bit deeper into your opponents to know, when do I need to make critical decisions like swapping from the running back run over to the wide or move and go and get my quarterback or whatever. I'm just trying to give these drafters more information and simplify it so that at the end of the day, what they'll be looking at is a little box that says, you should draft this person. so that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm almost there. It should be done. Hopefully it'll be online this weekend. I'm excited to get that out of the way so I can switch back and go back to pure on auction draft study. And I'm hoping that the income from Snake Eyes will be a little bit more substantial than Poker Face, because auction draft is still a little bit more niche drafting. So, and
sadly, but so true. Mm-hmm. Still, every year we beat the drum. Every year you hear experts talking about only snake drafting and not auction drafting, and just it drives me crazy because auction drafting is so much better. It annoys me when, you know, neighbor or friend or, you know, acquaintance wants to talk about fantasy football, and I forget that I'm even in a league that has a snake draft, and I start trying to explain to them how an auction draft works because they have no idea, they've never heard of it, and it's like, oh, why isn't this more mainstream? It's so much better. People would like fantasy football even more if they knew about auction drafting.
That's right. And I would make more money off Poker Face because it'd be more in demand. But I think Snake Eyes is going to be nice. I think it'll pay for itself this season based on the demand that people have been asking for it, and that'll be nice. And maybe recoup some time, pay for the new golf clubs, and dive head over heels into the Pellwood League.
It sounds like a really good tool, and that would be really helpful, you know, in a snake draft to quickly analyze other teams' rosters and know, you know, especially those guys, you know, two, three spots ahead and behind you, where they're position needy. Because sometimes you do have those choices of, like, I could take a running back or a wide receiver here. If I take one, will it come back around where I can get, you know, the other position that I need, or is that player to be drawn? So I just see that being really helpful. Sounds like a good use of your time, and it sounds like it distracts you from our auction draft
definitely
as
doing
well.
That, yeah.
So I'm a big fan of it. Keep pounding snake eyes.
Thanks,
Like the next 8 days, you know, that's you got to get ready for draft season. You know, people's drafts are coming up.
That's right.
You got to make sure that product is perfect.
Man, I really appreciate the encouragement. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
means a lot. Yeah, I will. I will keep working on that. I will get that ready.
Yeah.
It does sound like a pretty sexy tool. Now that I've been in the beta test, and I am excited about it. The degree of desperation, as my Poker Face famously spits out, is still there. And those things translate just fine. You go in, essentially what you do is you just go in and set your ideal draft lineup by pick based on what you believe to be the right pick order, and then it uses that and an algorithm to tell you who to draft and when, and then you can follow your opponent's degrees of desperations. It also gives live points and live threats as you're going through it, so you know, okay, here's your biggest threat and here are your current teams that are stacking up, so you can kind of track your results as you're going and compare to other teammates. And what I love about that is, depending on where you are in the draft order, you can really use that information to your advantage, especially if you're close to the wings, like a 1 or 2 or 3 hole, not necessarily 1 or 12, but maybe 2 or 3 or 10 or 11. So you can make those swing decisions like, okay, I'm going to pick this guy now. Yeah. Is he going to get back to me in 3 picks? That's where it should be the most helpful.
Yeah, and in a snake draft, you know, honestly, you have more time to be looking at that sort of thing as you wait for your turn to come back around.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see. Well, hopefully some of our league members will beta test it for me, give me some feedback so we can polish it up for this year.
That sounds good.
Anyway, I think that's the most we've ever talked about the snake draft ever in a podcast.
You almost made a snake draft sound interesting. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I am doing my best. Is it wrong that, I mean, do you feel like I'm selling myself out? Because I'm literally building this to sell it. for those who use the
snake draft. Sometimes you have to reach to the lowest common denominator.
Thank you.
To reach the largest number of people, you know?
Maybe I should put a bunch of little...
We can't always talk to the 1%.
That's right. We're not going to make a living on the 1%. I think maybe I'll start putting in some subliminal messaging in Snake Eyes that really starts to really drive, maybe fade out some text in the background that says, like, this sucks. Auction draft is better. Like, just little subliminal little messages.
Yeah, that'll work.
The Tyler Durden method of getting in people's heads, little flashes of why auction draft is better as you draft snake. We'll see what we can do.
No, so anytime someone's like they're picking number 7 in the draft order, as those first 4 picks go off the board, every time it goes off the board, a little message pops up and it's like, oh, that sucks, you didn't get that guy. You could have been an auction draft.
You could have had a run in him in an auction draft. I noticed that you targeted him, that he was one of your targets, yeah. But you didn't get him. Bummer.
Could have had him in an auction draft. Have you heard about Poker Face?
Listen to TNR weekly, Thursday nights. Buy me lunch with my donation portal.
I think that'll work.
I think we're onto something. I think we'll net quite a bit of new listeners excited about the 2019 season as they engage, like we do, in the greatest fantasy football league in the world. This is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in tonight.